Hello and welcome to the first summer edition of the Three Bid League podcast. As always, I am your host, Tyler. And today, as we do every summer now, we're going to talk a little bit about the basketball tournament, TBT 2021. But this year, we got two A-10 alumni teams in the field, not just Red Scare coming back for year three, but now we have the brown and white team, the St. Bonaventure alumni. And today we are joined by their GM, Derek Howard. Derek, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be back on with you.
Yep. So, Derek, you guys tried to get this going last year, applied for TBT, but unfortunately with the shortened field due to the COVID bubble, the Bonaventure alums did not get in. But you decided to come back and give it a try this year anyway. So, I guess really, what was kind of the process of getting this together in the first place? Were you guys afraid that you were going to miss out for a second time? Just kind of take us behind the scenes.
We weren't really afraid that we were going to miss out. The TBT loves having alumni teams because they already have that built-in fan base. And a lot of this goes into TV ratings. They have a deal with ESPN. They're on the ESPN family and networks. And we kind of knew, I know there are some alumni teams that got left out, but TBT is aware that St. Bonaventure has a super passionate, rabid, loyal fan base. I had no idea what kind of seed we would get, but I was confident we were going to get in. And last year they abridged the field down to 24 teams and we were one of the few that was on kind of the cut line and got left out. But, you know, we've been trying to get this off the ground for a few years now. And it was actually this week, 2 years ago, I was watching the TBT and I tweeted from the SB Unfurled account that I run, like, Bonas has so many great ex-players who are playing at a high level overseas professionally. We need to get a team in this thing. And Jake Pavorsky from TBT kind of, he just DM'd me and said, you know, we've been trying to get a Bona team in this thing. They just need a GM. They need someone who's going to organize it. Be that day-to-day communications guy, fundraising, all that stuff. So I was like, I'm totally in, I'm on board. Let's try to get this thing off the ground. So a lot of the framework we put in for last year, we just kind of carried over. A lot of the guys that were all in last year were all in again this year. So we do have a couple guys who aren't Bona alums, but most of the roster is, you know, the same from last year with a few exceptions.
Who was the first guy that joined in on this project? The guy that you reached out to and was immediately just emphatic to play?
I think player-wise, Denzel Gregg has been great. He's almost like a pseudo player slash GM. He's close with a lot of guys. He played in that era that kind of was a bridge from the 2012-2013 team all the way up through the 2017 team with like Jalen Adams, Matt Mobley. So he's played with a lot of guys and he, you know, he has a great personality. He's friends with all these guys, very close with them. So I reached out to him and also Deion Wright, who's played in this before. He actually played for the VCU Ram Nation team. And he's been awesome. So those guys and Demetrius Conger have been, you know, they've been playing at a professional level. So player-wise, I would say those guys.
Yeah, a whole lot of fun guys on this roster. Just for me as a guy who's watched the Bonnies for so long, even though they were never a team that I followed too deeply until probably the last 5 years, but so many that I recognize. Daquan Cook, you mentioned Demetrius Conger. Deion Wright, you mentioned. Marcus Posley. Mm-hmm. Ladarian Griffin. It really kind of feels like you hold together the whole last decade of Bonnie's basketball. It's a nice little shuffled balance where I feel like every good team has somebody represented.
I did like a timeline of our roster of players and when they have played for the Bonnies. And if you're counting Daquan Cook's redshirt season, I think our roster, our players go all the way back to like 07 and all the way up to 2019 with Ladarian Griffin. So there's like a 12-year span, 12 or 13 seasons where we have guys represented and no year was there a gap. Like These are just guys who have been here. Bonaventure runs a program. You know, obviously we don't get one and dones. Schmidt in the past has done a good job of keeping guys. So we have a lot of four-year guys. These are guys that, you know, A-10 fans like yourself have seen for 4 years and seen develop. Deion Wright and Ladarian Griffin hardly even played their freshman year, but slowly developed into, you know, all A-10 caliber players.
Yeah, Daquan Cook is really just pulling out a blast from the past there.
Yeah.
I just remember him as the longtime Nicholson running partner in the front court. I'm stunned that he's 6'9", because for some reason in my old memory, I feel like he was an undersized, like 6'5", but maybe that was just simply because he was standing next to Andrew Nicholson all the time.
Yeah, he was a force down low. Bulldog did the dirty work, and just a perfect front court mate for Nicholson, I think, because he was just a really solid, strong rebounder, but also very, very good defender. I think that's maybe the best front court we've ever had. So yeah, it's great to have him. He's still close with Andrew. All these Bonner guys are really close. Nicholson was actually in New York City last week hanging out with Quan, gave us a huge, awesome donation to help us put this thing together. So it's great to have these guys all back together.
Yeah, and your biggest problem with Andrew Nicholson is he's just a little too good to be playing in TBT. He's still got some big overseas contracts to worry about protecting. And
yeah,
you know, you see a lot of overseas players in this, but not the guys who are making big-time money. They don't want to risk it.
Yeah, it is a big risk. And then he was just playing for Team Canada. They just missed out making the Olympics, but he was playing for them in the qualifying. They, I'm sure they were disappointed they didn't get in, because I thought they had a good team, a lot of NBA talent on that team. But even though Andrew's not going to be on the court, he's super supportive. He always has been. He's one of the best ambassadors we could have for our university. So he said, you know, not this year. July is his month to kind of just chill, drink some beers, hang out with his fiance or wife and travel a little bit. But in future years, he said he might get on board.
In future years, you could have Andrew Nicholson manning the paint. And if we're going off the donation sheet, perhaps assistant GM Adrian Wojnarowski.
That's true. Yeah. I want to have Woj, you know, announce one of our commitments, maybe like Oshun in the future if he plays. Oshun and Andrew, and then Yusu Endoy. I mean, he's playing in the top league over in Spain. We have tons of really, really good pros playing at high levels overseas for whatever reason. A lot of different reasons. Some guys couldn't play this year, but you know, we're trying to make this an annual event, get these guys back to Bonas. Have it be like an alumni event over the summer and have these guys come back and reunite.
So one guy that's played at a top level before in TBT is Deion Wright. We saw him as really one of the six guys who were handling all the minutes last year for Sideline Cancer, who lost in a close Elam ending battle in the finals last year.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, how did you guys convince him to switch teams? As we're recording this, Sideline Cancer's playing in their third round game in one of the regions that started the first week. So how'd you get him to leave a winning program like that? And what do you expect from him this week with his experience in this event?
Yeah, like I said, he played in the past for the VCU team. He's been a guy that's always been on board with the idea of St. Bonaventure getting an alumni team in this. In the last year, he was all in for us. He was ready to go. We didn't get in. Luckily, I was super happy for him that he got to latch on to that really good roster and make that run all the way to the championship. He was so close to getting a piece of that, you know, $1 million winner-take-all prize. And he would have footed the bill for dinner this year if he would have won that, he said, I think. So, I don't know. I mean, most of these Bonner guys who have been through the program are very loyal. They want to have the experience of hanging out with all their buddies from years past. I feel like last year, you know, he played well for Sideline Cancer. Like you said, he was in the rotation. He had some good spurts for them, but I think he's going to be even better for us this year. He's going to be a little more comfortable. Coach Moore is putting in some of the wrinkles of the Schmidt offense. So we've had a few practices and I've heard these guys are picking it right back up, and he's going to be more comfortable with us, I feel like. And he's really going to show how much he's developed even since graduating from St. Bonaventure, developed that 3-point shot, gotten bigger, gotten stronger, still has that great touch around the rim. So it didn't take much convincing. He's a Bona guy, and he wanted to play with us.
Yeah, and, you know, last summer he had to play a lot out of position. That sideline cancer team was thin up front, and when the foul trouble started, he ended up playing a lot of small ball four. So,
yeah,
you know, not really a particular natural center on this roster, but a lot of other big forwards. So he's going to be able to probably play more on the wing, I would think.
We're going to run some stuff with him at the five, I think. This is it's a guard-oriented thing. We have some big wings, some big guards. We're going to be able to do a lot of different stuff. He's pretty versatile. We have a lot of versatile guys like Ladarian Griffin as well down low. So when Kwan's not in, Deion might be our five man. We're gonna throw some different looks, I think. And you know, Deion, he's a guy who he can play the four. He's played the five before. Even El Ladarian at 6'6" played the five for us quite a bit in that 2018 team that went to the tournament. So these guys are gonna be able to do what they did at Bona's and then some, I think.
So I'm glad you mentioned the guards, because at this point, if you're listening to this on a lovely July day about TBT, you're probably either a Bonnies fan or you know enough about A-10 basketball that you remember at least a few of these guys, because, you know, if you listen to this pod over and over again, you know A-10 basketball.
Right.
So there's a lot of guards on this roster that are not Bonaventure alums. You have Marcus Posley, but you have three other guys on here from other schools. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're going to have to take a heavy load of minutes back there. Who's one guard that we should really be looking out for as a key piece of this team?
Quentin DeCozy is a guy. He's a big guard. He played at Temple. He's long, he's athletic. He's versatile. He can do, he can play the two, the three. He can even maybe fill in at the one. Tough kid from Philly. And then Davian Barry, he was the Big Sky Player of the Year with Weber State. Had a very, very good career there. And then as well overseas, both those guys can shoot the ball really well. They're tough. Physical guys, good defenders. And then Kane Broom, who played at Cincinnati, actually plays for our one of our coaches in Canada, the St. John's Edge. He's a smaller guard, but he can shoot the hell out of the ball. So all these guys are bringing different elements of things that we wanted to bring to our team. And when we couldn't get some certain Bona guys that we were eyeing, these guys stepped up, and we're really happy to have them. I think Bona fans are going to like these guys a lot. I think they fit our system. They're picking it up already, just, you know, 2 days into practice. So even though they're not Bona guys, Bona fans are going to get behind them, and I think fans are going to like them.
Yeah, it certainly makes it fun when you bring in these new faces. I know, having watched Red Scare, I'm now forever a fan of Ryan McMahon because of some of the big shots that he hit in last year's tournament. So I hope that the Bona fans get to enjoy these guys.
But one thing I'll add too, maybe you were going to touch on this, but Matt Mobley is going to be playing
against
us. That's
right where I was going.
Yeah. So yeah, Mobley was all in last year. He was ready. He was ready to go. We didn't get in, and he signed on with Armor Athlete last year. This year he was planning on doing some summer league stuff with the NBA, might still be doing that, but you're going to see, for the Bona fans out there, probably Mobley versus Posley. There have been discussions on message boards for years now, who is the better guard. And, you know, Jalen Adams, for his 4 years, played with two great shooting guards, with Posley for his first 2 years and Mobley for his second 2 years.
So you led us right into this. You guys end up as the 13th seed in the Columbus Regional, which I got to say, it was this way 2 years ago too. Looks like the toughest regional. For whatever reason, TBT has just really taken a strong hold in the Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia area of the country. Mm-hmm. So some of those teams are in Charleston, but most of them are in this loaded Columbus bracket. And you guys in your first round game, which is Friday at 4 o'clock. Am I reading that right? Yeah.
Yep. Four Eastern.
4 Eastern on ESPN3. You are taking on the 4 seed team Hines. This is a team that made the semis 2 years ago. And then last year lost to Sideline Cancer in the opening round. Mm-hmm. 7 guys on their team who were either NBA players at some point or were at least drafted into the NBA. But outside of that, 2 names that we would all know, Isaiah Miles, former St. Joe's Hawk, and as you said, Matt Mobley from St. Bonaventure. I think we have to start with really the simplest and most logical question. Was Matt Mobley sent in as a spy to just destroy this team from the inside?
I don't think Mo would do that to us. I hope not. I think he just, I don't know what his thought process was. I don't think he is going full-blown espionage on us. And, you know, he is a deadly, deadly scorer, can score in bunches. But, you know, I don't know about Team Hines and how much they have played together. They have a lot of great players individually. We're hoping that our cohesiveness as a team and these guys playing together can be what maybe puts us over the edge. But, man, Matt Mobley's going to be tough. It's going to be really weird seeing him opposite the brown and white. Even more awkward if Quentin Dikoze wears his number 2 and guards him. It's going to be interesting, man. And then he might even be in the 3-point contest against Marcus Posley too. So I don't know if one of our coaches said he saw Mobley in the lobby at the hotel, and it was all fun and games. They were having a good time, but I don't know what to expect, man. I'm not sure how much he'll play for them. Probably quite a bit. He probably wouldn't have come off the court for us, but man, he's free to play with who he wants. Hopefully the best case is that we beat them and he can sign on with us next year.
Yeah, they got a 13-man roster. As I've said before, that is too many guys for TBT. You guys have 10, which is probably about the max that you should have. These guys show up, they expect to play. But the reason that I mention that is it's 13 guys from 12 different schools. They actually have 2 guys who went to Montana. So no past cohesion there. I'm sure Kyle Hines, their captain and center, has probably played with a few of these guys along the way, and that's how they ended up on the squad. But you guys do have that advantage. They're one of the kind of last few legacy teams left in this who are not alumni squads. So other than the chemistry edge, is there anything else that you feel like could be a big edge for you guys to pull the upset?
Our coaching staff has done a phenomenal job so far, and they're actually putting in some wrinkles of the Schmidt offense. And these guys, like I said, have picked it up. So, you know, we've been focusing on some sets that these guys are either used to or picking up quickly if they're honorary Bonnies. And then we're going to focus on some different defensive stuff. So just throwing different looks. I think we have a little bit of an advantage in that these guys have played together and that we have a bit of a head start on setting up some playbook type stuff. So that, and then also these guys know that they're playing for a fan base and we're going to have fans there in the arena cheering them on. They haven't heard the Let's Go Bona chants on the court in a while. And I think that's going to fire them up. Hopefully some fans show up Friday, and then hopefully we win and they show up again on Sunday. But, you know, putting on the colors of your alma mater, I'm sure is going to be a great feeling for them, and it's going to be very meaningful for them. They're going to play with a lot of heart and pride because, you know, some of the best days of their lives were at Bona's playing in the Riley Center, and that's going to bring back a lot of memories.
So we'll wrap this up with one big question. For any Bona fans who are still on the fence, whether or not they're going to dip out of work a little bit early on Friday, throw on this random game in the middle of the summer, what's the biggest reason for them to root for the Bonnies this weekend?
For Bona fans, you get to see some of your favorite alums that didn't play together necessarily at Bonas play together. It's going to be really cool to see like Marcus Posley playing on the same team as Demetrius Conger, or, you know, Ladarian Griffin and Deion Wright down low with Daquan Cook. That's kind of the goal. That's what we've wanted to do. I think the main focus of this, you know, not only bringing the guys back together for sort of a reunion, but it's for the fans and letting them see all these great ex-Bona players come together and put on the colors again and really put on a show. So, you know, who doesn't want to watch like Marcus Posley put on brown and white again and launch some threes? Like all Bona fans are going to want to do that. Not to mention it's literally during happy hour. So Bona fans are going to be ready to go.
And I lied. Actual last question. Have you allowed your brain to wander far enough to know that if the 13 seed brown and white pull off a little bit of a Cinderella run, let's be honest, they're playing some experienced TBT teams. They are the underdogs in this region. And they can get through those first three games that first weekend. Then the seeding would say they are most likely to face the Dayton Flyer alumni team at UD Arena.
The first thought I had actually was that the championship is in UD Arena. And just a few months ago, I was in UD Arena watching one of the best games I've seen in person, one of the most satisfying, the Bonnies cutting down the nets in UD Arena. We've had some great games there. We beat UCLA there in the first four. And we had an awesome win there in 2016 with, you know, Marcus Posley and a few of these other guys that are on the team, Denzel Gregg. So the first thought that came to my mind was how awesome it'd be if we got through and got to go back to Dayton. And you know, that would be amazing. I would hope a lot of the Dayton fans would root for us if we weren't playing the Red Scare, because brown and white versus Red Scare in UD Arena would be pretty electric.
Yeah. And well, actually Dayton fans got a chance of all kinds of rivalry games that they never see in this, in this tournament. They could potentially play the Xavier alumni in that final game in Columbus. And then if they get through that, then the first game at UD Arena, they could play you guys or get a rematch with Carmen's crew, the Ohio State alumni who knocked them out 2 years ago. So plenty of rivals to potentially face. But of all three of those, I have confidence that if the Dayton fans are rooting to play one of them, it will be the Bonaventure team.
Red Scare has been doing it right when it comes to the TBT. That's kind of our goal. We see some of these other teams doing it. They've been doing it for years. We would love to eventually, you know, get on board with Boeheim's Army and maybe even the UB team who has a SUNY Amherst team who has a TBT team this year as well, and host a regional in like Rochester or Buffalo. But it all starts this year, getting it off the ground. It's been tough getting it off the ground in the COVID centric bubble tournament. It's been a little bit difficult because the Riley Center is getting renovations. We couldn't have training camp at Bonas this year like we wanted, but we look at Red Scare and we're like, that's what we want to be eventually. And we think in a couple of years we can be, if we max out our full potential, we can put together a team that has a chance to win this thing.
Yep, it's been years in the making. The brown and white finally prepared to make their TBT debut this weekend. And if they have a great weekend, those Bona fans get to flood back into UD Arena. And if enough of them get there, maybe they can free the cameraman who's probably still locked away in UD Arena jail somewhere in the bowels of that arena.
Hopefully it's not our cameraman. In my bank account from that championship game at UD Arena was hilarious. It was just concession stand. There was like 20 different charges for beer. It was great.
As the Dayton fans know, one of the key pieces of the UD Arena renovation was finding more places to put expensive beer stands.
We need beer in the RC. Another reason to look up to the Red Scare.
Yeah, only a few years running, but it is a big moneymaker for the school now. Derek, we thank you for joining us. And, you know, as fans of A-10 basketball, we thank you for putting together this team.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully we can give Bona fans a show and, you know, play more than one game. But if not, we'll be back next year too.
Yep, we will all be looking forward to it. All right, a big thank you to Derek Howard, the GM of the Brown and White St. Bonaventure alumni team in TBT. Be sure to check them out. They're playing Friday, 4 o'clock on ESPN3. And if you want to keep the A-10 party going, Red Scare playing at 3 o'clock on Saturday in their first game. Cheer on the Bonaventure alums, cheer on the Dayton alums. It's summertime. The A-10 fans, we're all fans of each other this time of the year. Hope you enjoyed the pod. If you did, please leave us 5 stars on iTunes. If you got any comments for us, things that we're doing well, things we could be doing better, you can reach out to us on Twitter at @3BidLeaguePod. Or if email's more your speed, send it to us, the3BidLeague@gmail.com. Everybody enjoy this beautiful weather and enjoy the Columbus TBT.